Jesus' name, amen. So today's sermon is about darkness to light. And then next week we'll start a new series on leadership, and we'll have a different people from the scripture in that series. We'll start with Moses, and then we'll go to Joshua, and then Joseph, and we'll do Paul and Jesus. So that will be a fun series that we'll step into. But today we're talking about going from darkness to light, or the kingdom of light versus darkness. And it's a very powerful piece in that sense. And one of the things I thought about, because you see on TV a lot of commercials, and we like, and maybe you get the Disney Channel. You ever watch the Disney Channel? I do. It's for adults as much as kids, isn't it? I mean, and that is called the what? The Magic Kingdom. And we love all the magic and the things that happens, and that is wonderful. But that kingdom is different because it's temporary. It doesn't last. And it's a lot of fun, and I love it, but it's not the same. You know, so I came across this slide. I thought, oh, we got to have this slide for this. You know, there's Mickey Mouse, and we think about the kingdom, the Magic Kingdom. That is cool. But, you know, the kingdom of God is so much greater and so much more powerful. And that's what life is about, is the kingdom of light or the kingdom of God. And of course, there's Satan who's there. We'll talk about that too, who's the prince of darkness in the dark kingdom. So we look at that and about different kingdoms, and we get caught up. And I think it's fun, you know, but the kingdom of God is spiritually more important. And so today we want to talk about, in this lost dying world, that we need to understand the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. Because actually, we battle it every day. And that God asks us to be light. Jesus is light. God is light. And He wants us to be light to a lost dying world. And that gives you purpose in who you are as a person. It's so important. And so our scripture today is from the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 5, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing has been made that's been made. And in Him was the life, and the life was the light of all mankind." So basically saying, in God, that is the light in the life of all mankind, everything that He's created. So in Him was the life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so that's a powerful passage of Scripture about light, the kingdom of light. And one of the things I love about Nebraska is at night you can step out and you can look at the stars and the sky, can't you? You really can. In fact, in the wintertime, sometimes if it's cold enough and you're away from the city, you can actually see the northern lights sometimes. I have seen them. Have you seen them? No? You got to step out sometimes when it's really cold and you can look to that, and it's powerful. But here, the kingdom of light is so important. And that's what God is all about. He is light. He created it all, but He is light. And light represents God and Jesus in that sense. And it has to do with, it starts with salvation. And salvation means that we are transformed from one kingdom. Now, what's the other kingdom? It's darkness, isn't it? Yeah. But He transforms us. We transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's so important. And so we think about that and how important it is to be transferred from darkness. This world is a dark place. And when I say dark place, there's a lot of evil, a lot of sin out there all the time that's after us. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, that darkness of this world, the evil of this world, describing darkness, Darkness is something that takes away our hope and our salvation and our happiness. You know, we in America, we like to be happy, don't we? And so we do turn on Disney, but that only lasts for a moment. But true happiness and true hope is only found in God and in Jesus Christ. And so we are transferred from the dark evilness of this world to be light and into the light. It's so important. There's two ways which we can live. We can live the narrow way, which is God's way. Or you can live in the wide way, which is the Satan's way, isn't it? Wide is the road to destruction. Narrow is the gate to eternal life and to heaven. My first church I served, there was a cemetery. It was a little church in Indiana called Kiwana, after Chief Kiwana. It was the Indian name, Church of Christ. And they had a cemetery there, and in that cemetery there was a phrase, I can never remember the phrase totally, but it was all like, oh, death ajar, the hope would be that the gate would be left ajar for me. The idea being, you know, that the gate would be opened, that they could go enter in and go to heaven. And that's a hope that we have, that we can go to heaven. And so that I've never forgotten that. You know, happened to be in that cemetery more than once for funerals and stuff. And over there was a stone, and that phrase was written on that tombstone, O death of jar, that this gate might be left open for me. There's power in that. And so that it's a narrow way. And that's not saying that we have to live legalistic lives. To be narrow, I would define as to live the way God prescribes us to live in His Word. There's a lot of grace with that. We're all sinners, but we have to make effort to live in God's way and to do what pleases Him. And it's so important in that sense. Problem is, some people live as they're in the happy medium. They like it both ways. You know, I can live in the world and be in church on Sunday. Meaning my lifestyle. I'm talking about lifestyle. I can go out and party through the week, but show up on Sunday. It doesn't work that way. We have to live a Christian life every day for Him. Not just on Sundays. It's so important. So it's not about a happy medium, or in that sense. The kingdom of light came to break through the darkness, the evil, the sinfulness of this world. You know, I have a couple of interesting stories or illustrations on light and darkness. And light and darkness is an important piece. You know, we use it as illustrations of, I'm pretty blind at night. Are you, when it gets dark at night in the house I've done this before, so Andrea's used to this illustration. She turns off all the lights and likes it really dark. But what happens is I trip over stuff. You get up to go to the bathroom, and man, I tell you, I make sure I don't leave the shoes in the middle of the floor because I'll trip on them. Here's one person illustrating the same thing. Anyway, one morning, I got up at 3:30 a.m. and decided to turn on the light. Now, there's a light right next to my nightstand. Amen, same here. But I don't do that because I don't want to wake the wife up, do I? So anyway, in this person's illustration, it says, I decided to turn on my light. I figured that I knew my way to the bathroom and knew that the things were, so I didn't need the light. So I didn't turn the light on. And I figured I'd make my own way in the darkness. So I didn't turn on the light, and however, in the middle of the floor, there were some shoes left out from the night before. I don't do that. I put mine in the closet. And I don't know how many times I've ever been told not to leave my shoes on the floor and put them up. So there were, in the middle of the floor, I had no light, so I didn't see them there. And so as far as I was concerned, there was no shoes in the middle of the floor, and as I got up and went. I knew how many steps it was before I turned right. I knew my room, but I'd been living there for several years, he says. A few minutes later, I tried to pick myself up off of the floor. After tripping and doing the James Brown thing all over the carpet, and I'd been tripped over my shoes, I was reminded that when things are dark, you don't see things as they really are. Now, that's an important statement. Satan, or the kingdom of darkness, is a deceiver, and he never wants you to see how things really are. He deceives. So I was reminded that things are dark, and you don't see things as they really are, and you may think that you're okay when you're not okay. You may think you're fine when you're not really fine. You may think that you know what you're doing when you don't really know what you're doing, because you are all trying to do it in the dark. And see, I think life is a little bit that way. See, if we aren't living in God or in Christ, we don't see things the way they really should be in life. Satan likes to deceive. And if we would have just turned the light on, you know, get into the Word, turn the light on, pray to the Lord, we'd have to go through all those issues. I would not have to face all those problems in life. And everybody has problems. Some people like to think or say that they don't have problems, but everybody has problems. Because the light would have revealed something that was wrong in the middle of the floor. Well, the light, God's light, the Word of God and Jesus and His Holy Spirit, and many times the Holy Spirit's the one we don't listen to. He'll be tapping on your shoulder, speaking to your heart, saying that you should do this or do that, but we're been living in the world too much that we like to ignore that God is speaking to us on what to do or how to live. God never forgets you. He's always right there if we would just acknowledge it and listen to Him. He's there. But the problem is we let the world or darkness of this world have too much control over us. And we don't see the way we should see. So important that the kingdom of light needs to reign and be first place in your life. Christ needs to be first place in your life. So important. So we have the kingdom of light, and then there's the other kingdom. Satan is the prince of the kingdom of darkness. And if we turn to Colossians, I'm not going to read all of this, but in Colossians, there's in chapter 1, starting verse 15, it talks about this kingdom and God's kingdom too. And it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, and things in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers. And we don't realize that there are visible powers out there, but there are. Or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. This actually is very close to that Gospel of John passage that I read first. That God is the creator of everything. He even created, whether we like it or not, He created Satan. Satan is what? A fallen angel. An angel who decided that he wanted to be God. And then God cast him out of heaven. And so at that point, Satan said, oh, I have my own kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. It says that he, that God, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, or the church, and that he is beginning the firstborn of the dead, which we've already mentioned, and that in everything that he might have supremacy. So the light wins the war. You know, Satan forgets who wins. If you read the Bible from beginning to end, and especially in the book of Revelation, you'll find who wins in the end. And we know that it's Jesus and God that wins the battle in the end. And we need to remember that, and we need to give over to Him and let Him be supreme in our lives. So important in that sense. And it just goes on about those in darkness live in a world as they want. The kingdom of darkness is kind of like a sinking ship. Now, what's the most famous sinking ship there is that sank 100 years ago? Titanic, you got it. You are on, Stacy. Yeah, good. That is so important. So, on the Titanic, what we got to remember is the passengers, when the ship was sinking, it became what? Chaos. Chaos. And it became hopeless, leading to destruction. Life can feel that way, can't it? Satan wants us to feel like, you know, that things are okay, but they're not. It's like a sinking ship. It is hopeless, leading to destruction. The Titanic had 2,208 passengers, and they thought it was the most unsinkable ship ever. Out of that, after it sunk, how many people survived? Anybody know how many survived the Titanic? I heard different numbers. No, it was 2,208 that were on the ship. Only 706 survived. 706 survived. That happened April 15th in 1912. And how many have seen different movies about the Titanic? Oh, yeah. A lot of fun. You know, they make it a romance, but you remember the disaster and how the ship broke, actually split in half, but that was supposed to be an unsinkable ship. But life is, I think that ship in the Titanic is a great illustration of life. Because what happened, everything became chaos. I'd say everything but the band. The band was amazing to me. What did the band do? They continued to play until the end, you know? But it was chaos, it was destruction, and it became hopeless. And that's what Satan does. He makes things hopeless. But God, who is the God of light, gives us hope. He's just the opposite of Satan all the time. So when you think that things are terrible and bad, remember that Jesus is that light and He gives hope always. There's always hope that we cannot give up. You cannot give up. You know, I think about Memorial Day and how many soldiers, many people who have been in the military, you know, a lot of soldiers were called foxhole Christians. Why were they called foxhole Christians? It's because they got desperate, and in when they were in their foxholes, that's when they started believing. And their faith kicked in. They had hope. They started praying. So in that Titanic, there was over 1,500 that died. It's amazing. Here's some other story illustrations about light and darkness. Here's one the opposite but similar about darkness. It goes this way. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and got to go to the restroom in the kitchen and failed to turn the light on? Well, we talked about that. But miscalculated where the end of the bed was. And that's a major miscalculation, especially if you don't have anything on your feet. And what happens, though, here's the other story of this. Have you ever hit your pinky toe? It hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. And it makes you want to lose your, I don't want to say lose your religion or faith, but it hurts. And most of us have nightstands by our beds with the light, so it's a similar story. And we use the middle of the night because we want to explore so that we can see to go where we need to go. Of course, you know what I do now, don't you? I just pick up the phone and guide myself. That way I can do that without waking up Andrea. Yeah. A lot of us have lived our lives, though, making one bad decision after another, and we're walking in darkness. We don't want to walk in darkness, do we? And we still want to know why our spiritual toes are always hurting. Maybe we haven't thought about it that way, but you know, why are we hurting spiritually sometimes? And it's because we haven't let the light prevail in our lives. And that's the problem. Many years ago, before I went into ministry full time, I spent a summer in a country called Sierra Leone, which is just north of Liberia. And in that country, African country, I went as a summer missions person. I welded. I did welding. And I built a jungle gym for a school there. Actually, at the school, they had many play toys I built and welded on their trucks and did things. It was a lot of fun. And that's really where I received my call to ministry when I spent that summer. But they had these little, you know, they did not have electricity like we have. They had some, but when you, at night, they had these lights they called fufu lights. And they basically, it was a can, like after you take a can of soup and wash it out, well, they put oil with a wick in it. And you could see all these little lights from the mountainside. Sierra Leone means lion mountainous country. And you could see those lights, and everybody needs light. And we use those as symbols, but, you know, everybody needs the light of Jesus, the light of God, ultimately. And that's our purpose here. That's our purpose here at Norfolk, is to shine, be lights. And that's the question I put out. Are you being a light? Now, I want some of you, I'm concerned, I need more students for VBS. Some of you know neighbors. I talked to one person this morning, she says, I'm going to talk to my neighbor about their child, bringing their child. I need you to bring your neighbors or your grandchildren to VBS. Get them registered. We have some registered. We need more. It's important. So then we can show the light to them.